Praise the Lord. Praise God. If you are physically able and if you're ready to honor the Lord, the Word of God, please stand up to your feet if you're able. And turn your Bibles first to Romans 15, verse 4. And then also find Genesis chapter 16. So let's start first with Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. And then the first book in the Bible, which is Genesis chapter 16, right after Romans 15. Okay, Romans 15, verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So God is going to bless each one, most especially the mothers today, with the gift of hope coming from the Word of God. God is going to equip you with what lies ahead, with what you have right now and even your concerns for tomorrow as a mother. Because the Word of God is the source of encouragement. It gives us endurance. Hallelujah. And we need that in our days right now, most especially for the mothers. Now let's turn to Genesis 16. Genesis 16. We're going to start with verse 1, Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your servant is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." Verse 13, powerful. She, that's Hagar, gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. "You are the God who sees me," for she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had come. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Lord, we come to you, Lord, because your words are life to all of us. In fact, your scriptures found in Romans 15 says, everything that has been written, including this story, was written for us, to teach us, so that through your words, Lord, we may learn how to persevere and receive encouragement that comes from you, because you are the God of hope, that everyone, especially all the mothers, may find hope in their present challenges today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Let's start with the whole picture of what this story has related to us. There's a powerful truth found in this story that no problem, hear this, no problem is too big for God. No problem is too complicated for God to fix. In fact, you know, the Bible teaches us that God is an all-knowing God. He's an all-seeing God. He knows everything. He knows all the full details of what's going on in each one's life. Things might not be known to others. There must have been some experiences in the past that if we have a huge delete button, we would like to delete certain experiences or past mistakes. And we would always say this at the onset. Our God, who is a God of restoration, has never meant for us that our past mistakes will define us today. Na kahit kung anong kamalian, every mistake that has been done, but when that person finds Christ, the Bible says that person now becomes a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things now become new. That's the beauty of the heart of God. And so this is a powerful story. And so with the wisdom and the power of God, you know what? With his wisdom and his power, he can even use our mistakes. What we have done, the mistakes we've done, he can even turn it around for good. That's how God is. In Romans 8:28, it says, all things he worked them out for good. For whom? To those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So if you're someone and you know in your heart that you have Christ, you have submitted your life, surrendered your life to Christ, and committed your life to Christ, that promise is for you and me. What is it right now that you see negative in your life? Probably you're being haunted by a past mistake. But you know what? Do you believe that God can turn that around for good? Yes, he can. Believe that, because that's what he promised in his word. That promise is true because our God is a promise-keeping God. One thing that he cannot do is what? To lie. And so in this powerful story, just in fact, you know, there's continuity in this story, but I would ask you to read, you know, 17 all the way up to 21 at home. Because for the sake of time, we're just going to look at certain portions of this story, but to find out what God can do. And, you know, most of us have lived long enough in this world. We know that in life, there are always circumstances beyond our control. Is that true? Yes. Have there ever been things that happened to your life beyond your control? Yes. So it's true. Life can give us situations, I didn't see that coming. So it was unexpected. And so it's beyond our control. But the other thing is, although we cannot control everything that happens to us, there's one thing that you and I have control over. And that is, how do we react to these situations in our lives? So what we cannot control, we give it to God. What you and I can control is how to react to difficult and unpleasant circumstances. So it's more of heart attitude. Do you know that this heart can have an attitude? Yes, it can. So the God of the Bible has a solution for all these complex situations, a changed heart. And that happens when a person comes to know Christ. That change only happens when someone surrenders their life to Jesus in the person of our Lord Jesus, to know what he has done at that cross that can bring about our salvation, that would determine our eternal destiny, and even to know the presence of God in our daily routine, daily life. That whatever comes your way, whether you are a young mother just starting to raise a family, when you have Jesus, God will help you build up your family. You might be in your mid-ish. Sino ba yung mga mid-ish dito? Middles. 30s, 40s. Whatever challenges you find, God is with you. Even if you're a mother in your 80s like my mom, now she has great-grandchildren, and now she's also in her life, she has found purpose and meaning in passing on something valuable in her life, and that is faith in Jesus. She finds joy every time, you know, Haley, even before she leaves school, because she made it like a habit that they would pray before Haley leaves for school. And one time she was rushing out. She came back. She came back to her grandma. you forgot to pray for me. Yeah. And so even Aubrey, it's like before they go visit their grandparents in Compton, it's like, come, we'll pray. And she's still running towards her grandma, Jesus. She's already starting to pray. You know, it's such a delight. Parents, can I say this to you always? The greatest thing that you can pass on to your children, it's okay to, you know, save for their future, for their education and all. That's very good. That's good. In fact, you know, when we would hear stories of mothers, parents that worked hard, like our sister Sally shared with us, her mother, you know, would create things to sell. Why? Because the heart is always to provide so that my children can have something to eat for their clothes and for their education. Amen. You know, parents, can I tell you this? God will give you the ability. You'll be amazed on how God will provide for your needs. That's why the Lord says, unless it's the Lord who builds the house. House means life. Unless the Lord is in the center of your family, it will always be toiling and laboring. And the Lord would want to spare you from heartaches that you toil and labor for nothing, right? Meaning to say, have you met some people and said, well, you know, I labored for that and it came to nothing? God is going to spare you from that. If you're someone who's starting to build your family, let Jesus be the center of your family, of your marriage, and see what God can do. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. There are life lessons out of this very short story that we read. It started with, it tells us about Sarah. Sarah, it was Abraham's wife. There are two conditions about their life as a couple. Sarah was old and so was Abraham, and Sarah was not able to conceive. She was barren. So double jeopardy, she cannot conceive. And of course, they longed for a child. Now, it so happened that the Lord revealed himself to Abraham, and Abraham gave him a promise. The Lord said, your wife is going to bear a son. Bear a son. And see, the thing here is, we see that their mistake was they did not believe. Their unbelief and impatience resulted to something that brought about a huge problem, a huge chaos in the family until now. So God gave them a promise that he will give them their own son. But both of them had a hard time believing and waiting for God to fulfill what he said. Haven't you noticed that even, you know, the Bible even tells us his age? Why did the Holy Spirit even gave us that detail? Because when, you know, faith, the test, I think the greatest test in their lives as God-fearing people is the test of time. A promise was given. And it's like, in their mind, it's like, probably Abraham looked at Sarah. Oh my gosh, Lord, are you kidding me? Are you serious, Lord? Lord, look at our bodies. Like, it's like prunes. We're old, God. Of course, God sees that, right? See, one thing about God is he would always choose situations that's beyond us. Yeah. Haven't you noticed that? Yeah. For the power of God to be seen, oh, he's so good at situations we're in. You know, we have come to conclusion, Lord, I can't do anything, right? The impossible, because the Bible tells us that nothing is too hard for God. In fact, that question is found here in Genesis. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We ask ourselves, Lord, is there anything too hard for you? And let God prove to you that nothing is too hard for him. Amen. So they waited. So their unbelief, their lack of faith, resulted in a series of problems when they took the matter into their own hands. Sarah had a maidservant, Hagar. And so what did she do? In her mind, oh, probably this is how it's going to work. So Sarah approached her husband and said, I'm going to give to you Hagar, my servant. Sleep with her. Because in her mind, this is how a son will be born to us. But because during that time, it was a common practice that, you know, a servant can be given as a substitute. But common practice. But you see, the lesson here is, it might be a common practice in the world, but we don't adapt to the worldly ways. When God says something that I will give you a son coming from your own bodies, meaning to say, it will be your own, not someone else's, right? But because of their impatience and unbelief, they took the matter in their own hands. So what happened? So probably they were thinking, probably when Sarah approached Abraham, you know, hey Abraham, we don't have much time, okay? I know that God promised us a son. Look at you, how old are you? How old am I? I'm barren, right? Are we going to wait for this to happen? Let's do this. And so she thought of a plan. And so what did Abraham do? He agreed to Sarah's plan. But, you know, in their mind, so they interfered. What they did was they both interfered with God's plan. In our everyday life, the temptation also is too great. We can all be tempted to do things our way when we become impatient with God's timing. How many of us will really honestly admit that we are all impatient creatures? We are living in a society, in a culture that we want things done instantly. Instantly. You know, I work in a company and it's like, you know, when we do our month end and our system is so slow, and it's like, everyone would call our IT guys. Hey, you know, our system is so slow. When you're at home, it's like your Wi-Fi connection. It's like, you know what? Upgrade. Our Wi-Fi is too slow. I want to do my streaming. When you go to a grocery, I've always experienced, and I think I've shared this with you. I hate waiting. And so, but, you know, God would, like, develop my, you know, the virtue of patience, and I always find myself in the longest line. Either the cashier, there would be a change of shift, or, you know, whatever, the tape gets messed up. One time, we went to the post office, and there was a car in front of us, and okay, I was ready to drop my mail, but, you know, the car in front of me wasn't moving at all. It's like, what's happening? And I didn't want to blow my horn. And I think that person was even right at that moment writing the check before. All the time. When I go to In-N-Out here by Carson Street and Figueroa, there are two lanes, right? I would always, because I'm driving, I would always, let me choose. When I look at the short, here. And guess what? Everyone else got their hamburger, and I'm still waiting for mine. So God is teaching us, even in our daily lives, about, you know, waiting upon God. Because, see, our timetable is different from God. When God seemingly is taking too long, He has a reason. And faith, that's where faith comes in, that God, I trust you. And Lord, help me through your Holy Spirit to wait patiently, not complaining. Ang tagal naman, Lord. And at times, you know, we say that, Lord, how long? And yet, the Bible reminds us that God makes all things beautiful in His time. Hallelujah. So here we go. Let's continue with the story. So Abraham agreed to the plan. So he slept with Hagar, the servant, and Hagar got pregnant. And you know what happened? Chaos. Nagkaroon na ng tension in the household. So Hagar now got these strong feelings of despising Sarah. Oh, look at you. Me, I'm pregnant. Ikaw hindi. Right? And so what happened now to Sarah? Sarah now, what did she do? Sarah now was frustrated and took out her anger against Abraham and Hagar. Can I say this? It's easier. See, Sarah's attitude was, it's so easier for her to blame others rather than admit the mistakes and ask for forgiveness, right? Did you see that? It's easier to blame others. And that's a tendency for anyone. It's so easy for us always to blame someone else for our own mistakes. But we ask God, Lord, what are you teaching me? Lord, what are you teaching me in this situation? And so, how about Abraham? What was his attitude? Abraham, remember, he agreed to the plan, right? But when things went wrong in the household, he was passive. How do we know that he was passive? What did he say to Sarah? You know, go deal with it, right? Do with her whatever you think best. Bahala ka. Problema mo yan. Ikaw ang nag-isip niyan, right? Seeming indirectly telling her. Do whatever is best. Then Sarah started to mistreat Hagar. And the harsh treatment that Hagar got from her mistress, her parang, di ba, servant siya, si Hagar. So Sarah was like, she has to submit to the authority of Sarah. So it gave her, nung nag-okay na si Abraham, it gave her that fuel to mistreat Hagar. But is that right? No, it's not, of course. And so, ganun na nangyari. So instead of Abraham thinking of a solution to the problem, yeah, deal it with yourself. Now, let's look at Hagar. Hagar being the maidservant, we realize that as a servant, she didn't have much choice and the freedom to say no to the plan of Abraham and Sarah. What did she do? For some of us, probably when we are looking at this story, we can justify her actions because of the harsh treatment, right? Pwede natin siyang kampihan. Oh, Hagar team ako. Right? But we see here that, what did she do? She ran away from the problem as she was treated harshly. But God's message to her was when she was there on the road, babalik kasi siya sa Egypt. Halfway during the journey, the Lord showed up. And the angel of the Lord said to her, a message was what? Go, di ba may tanong pa? Even asked the question, right? Did you see that? Hagar, where have you come from and where are you going? And every time a question is asked from God, there's a purpose. There's a purpose when she was confronted by an angel of God. Where are you coming from and where are you going? And it's a matter of confession. Always hear this. When God meets you in a road of discouragement and problems and you're overwhelmed, God always asks us a question. Because our tendency, like Hagar, is to run away from our problems. But the good thing about the Lord was he met Hagar where she was at and asked that question, where are you going? So the Lord is asking all of us today, right at this moment, where are you going right now? Which direction are you headed to? Is it a direction to get closer to God, our Lord Jesus? Or are you headed to a direction at times that things are not going well? It's like, you know what, God? I don't know. If you care for me, I don't know why all of these things are happening to me. But can I tell you this? God is bigger than our problems. At the onset, we see that because there's a lesson, valuable lesson, that God is going to give us and show to us today. Amen. And so the question was, where are you going? And so she said, I'm running away from my mistress. And what was the message of God for her? There we go. Bumalik ka. What? You want me to go back there with all those tension and I'm being mistreated? See, there's something about submitting to God's authority. The lesson is, when you and I submit to God, the result will be fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Hear this. Hear the word of God. When we submit to God's ways, to his word, God would bless you in ways that you can never imagine. Hallelujah. In fact, that's what the Lord already told her. Go back to your mistress and what? And do what? Submit to her. You know, in our times today, that word submit, oh, I don't like the word submit. Can you please delete the word submit? When wives are asked to submit to their husbands, and please, husbands, can I say this to you? Don't use that against your wives. Oh, the Bible tells you, submit to me. No, because to the husbands, Jesus said, husbands, love your wives like the way Christ loves his church. How does Christ love his church? Us. They're unconditionally, sacrificially. So husbands, hear the word of God. The submission won't be an issue with your wives when you learn how to love your wives. And then, you know, you don't need to, in Tagalog, pipigain. It's like, you know, like get it from them in a manner that's like, oh, you better submit to me. Yeah, it will come automatic. Praise God. The love. It's the love of God when you learn to love your wives. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so here we see, I love what the message of God, here how the Bible describes us, how God is. When the angel said, for the Lord has heard of your misery, that's found in 11. God sees. God sees everything. Hallelujah. And then I love verse 13 because this is a powerful thing that happened to Hagar in this process. Earlier we were singing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. In all this process, in what happened to this woman named Hagar, when she heard the message of God, when she heard the word of God, nagkaroon ng change of heart. There was a change of heart. In fact, in verse 13, it says, she, Hagar, gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. I love that. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. Beautiful. Mothers, this is the word of the Lord to you. God sees your challenges. God sees, if you find yourself in a miserable condition, God sees that misery. Amen. Amen. Hagar, when she heard the word of God, it gave her hope. It gave her courage to go back. Remember, the message was go back to your, to Sarah, the mistress, right? Lord, you want me to go back. It's hard to go back to something it's like unpleasant, right? You'd rather not, you know what, Lord, excuse me, but you know what, I'm on my way to Egypt, I'm not going back. But she obeyed. Down the line, when you read the rest of the story, the Lord blessed her. Why? Remember that probably you would consider Hagar as a victim in all of this because of the mistakes of two people, Abraham and Sarah. But God has the power to turn those things around for good. In fact, when Ishmael, the son, was born, remember, even the son, you would even think the son growing up in that kind of environment. And yet the Lord blessed Ishmael. That's the graciousness of God. That's the graciousness of God. Hallelujah. And so I want you to look at Genesis 21. I want you to look at this. So in all of this, so now let's go to Genesis 21. Hallelujah. Genesis 21, verse 1, all the way up to verse 5. I give you time to find the page because it's important for us to see and hear the word of the Lord. For the word of God will give you hope, give us hope and encouragement. Genesis 21, are you there with me? Okay. Now the Lord was visited. I love NIV. It says, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah. I love that. So remember, she made a mistake, right? Yeah. Right. But here, it says, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. And here's another detail that the Holy Spirit gave us. Abraham was what? He was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Did you see? Let's connect that with what we read in Genesis 16. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael, right? So 100 years minus 86. So how many years? So he waited for another 14 years. The element of time. The element of time. But the Bible reminds us that the Lord did. He did. He did what he promised them, right? So in these succeeding chapters of Genesis, we see that God in his grace work out something in this messy family situation. What is happening right now in your family that you think is like messy and sticky? In spite of the lack of faith of Abraham and Sarah, God fulfilled his promise and God blessed them with a son. When God said, I will bless you, Abraham, and you will be called the father of many nations. And the Lord did that. In the Middle East, we see, look at that, Middle East. And so when we read that now, as we close, look at Galatians chapter 3, because the Lord would want us to remember that this story, you might say, what is that about? You know, how would I apply that in my life? Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. It talks about what Jesus accomplished at the cross. In fact, in verse 13, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Now, verse 14. I can still hear the rustling of pages. Galatians 3. Now we're into verse 14. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come upon... Who are the Gentiles? We are. So Christ redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. When God gave Abraham a promise to bless him, and he became a blessing to many nations. In fact, through the lineage of Abraham, Christ was born. What promise has God given you? In fact, the blessings that belongs to Abraham, they're ours. Look at the nation of Israel. Look at this. I want you to look at the big picture. When God said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and that you will be the father of many nations. Do you know how the nation of Israel now is such a blessing all over the world? You know, the kind of wisdom and skill and talent that God has given the people of Israel. Israel is a desert place. Do you know that Israel now is sharing the technology and skills to other nations? In spite of being a dry, barren, and a desert land, Israel now is one of the exporters of fruits wherein many places are not able to. Technology about defense, the nation of Israel. In fact, in the government, you know, they would share. Israel is one of the allies of the nation of America. And so how even defense technology, medical technology. You know, I'm affiliated, my insurance is affiliated with Cedars-Sinai, and most of the doctors there are Jews. Matapalino. I'm saying this because when God says something that he will bless you, the way he has promised to bless the people of Israel, those blessings are ours. Some people would say, oh, my favoritism. No. God has no favoritism. That's why it says here, if God has intended to bless Abraham and the nation of Israel, we, the Gentiles, that those blessings are also ours. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you encouraged?
Yes.
That the God of Abraham is also our God. So what is it now that you are faced with? See, circumstances may change. The times then, we might say, oh, we are living in the 21st century now. No, it might be the change in certain other things. Circumstances may change, but the principles found in the Word of God, it never changes. In fact, God and his Word are the only two things that remain constant in this ever-changing world. Hear me. God, Jesus, and his Word are the only two things that will never change in this world. People can change. How businesses are done can change. When was the last time you wrote someone a letter physically and you put the letter in an envelope and put stamps so that it will be sent to the Philippines? Anyone has done that yet? You know, you're still doing that, Brother Melchor? Huh? No, we have email, electronic. You do it through your phone. What we're saying is that there may be some changes in the way we would communicate, the way business is done. Can you make a deposit now by taking a picture of your check? Wow, things change. But you know what? The Word of God and God himself, they do not change. And so, as we end, my prayer is that for all of us, and we're going to pray for the mothers later, is that when you make that decision to make Jesus, commit your life to Christ, it's the best decision that anyone can make. So it's not about religion, but it's about relationship. It's about relationship. Amen. And so from the lessons of the life of Abraham and Sarah, when God gives a promise, you know, at times we allow our minds to say, oh, how will that happen? If God says something, we know that God will do it. God will do it. Amen. Because he is God and he cannot lie. And from the lessons of Sarah, we see that even in her difficult circumstances, in her misery, God saw her and God moved on her behalf. And when the Lord revealed himself to Hagar, and she made that confession, now I have seen the one who sees me. And my prayer is that all of us would have the same confession. I know the one God who sees me and knows me, and he's the one that can see me through in all of these difficult circumstances. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray. Okay. All right. I know our children will have something to share with us. You know, kids will be kids, no? I know it can be quite a challenge for us to come to the Lord in prayer, but, you know, let's ask the help of God. Because this is a blessed moment that God has given us as we have heard his word. We read that portion in the book of Romans that it says the word of God gives us hope. And God would want you to be filled with hope when you leave this place. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you are the God who never changes, Lord. We thank you for your word as what the scripture promises that, Lord, these stories were written for our sake to teach us valuable lessons in life. And, Lord, to learn how to persevere in whatever challenges we are faced with. Not on our own effort, but, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for what your word promises, that, Lord, your word gives us hope. And our hope is in Christ alone. Lord, you're the God who saw Hagar in her misery. Lord, you're the God who sees us in our condition. Lord, if we have sinned against you, this is a blessed moment that we can make things right with you, Lord God. We value this time, O God, and we ask that, Lord, as we allow your Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of everyone gathered in this place, that as each one is, if there's anyone being given this opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior and Lord, Lord, let this be the day that through the work of your Spirit, each one will have a full understanding of our true spiritual condition apart from Christ, that we are lost in our sins, but Lord, in your mercy and grace, you provided, Lord God, the way for us to be saved, and that is through Jesus when he died on that cross. So if you're that person and you have never made this conscious decision to commit your life to Christ, I compel you to do that today. No one is ever guaranteed a tomorrow. In fact, the word of God says today is a day of salvation. If you know in your heart that you have never committed your life to Christ, I ask you, say this prayer, and if you lift up your hand to God. If you're that person, lift up your hand to God, and we're going to pray this prayer and mean it from our hearts. Lord Jesus, I come to you as a sinner, and I thank you for your grace that you died on that cross on my behalf. Thank you for your mercy, Father God, for giving Jesus to die on the cross for me. I receive your forgiveness today. I receive your love that brings healing in my life, and the gift of salvation and the gift of eternal life as I put my faith in your Son, Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. If you said that prayer, then you are born again. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 And we're going to pray a prayer later on for the mothers. Amen. And but we're going to give this opportunity to our little children to express their love to their mothers. Amen. Let's welcome their Sunday school.